Welcome back to Niaga Wani. Of course, my name is Ibrahim Sani, and earlier on you heard some discussions from some of our colleagues, including one market commentator, Shan Syed. Also important for us to take stock of some of the developments that are currently happening in the region. But of course, joining us right now is a partner of ours at Astra Wani, Fadzuli Wahab, the MD of ISGN, or Islamic Events. Fadzuli, how are you?
Hey, alhamdulillah. How are you?
I am fine. So how was Hari Raya Haji for you and the folks in Singapore?
Alhamdulillah, I think all the family are well, and we are celebrating. I mean, this year is much a change because the past 2 years was COVID, right? So yeah. This time around, we are able to visit each other, alhamdulillah.
You know, I one of the reasons why I wanted to get you guys on is because I want to learn more a little bit about the developments of Hari Raya Haji celebrations in Singapore, particularly in a post-pandemic environment, and to see how the Muslim businesses there are currently taking place, how the Qurban is actually taking place. Maybe you can share with us some of the experiences that is currently happening in Singapore with some of viewers here in KL.
Okay, so I think we talk about pre-pandemic first, eh? So in pre-pandemic, so during the Hajj season, usually we are able, for Singapore, masjid, we are able to import live animals, and there will be live slaughtering during at the mosque, lah, at the selected mosque. I think out of the 60 mosques, probably about 20 or 30 mosques will be able to do that. So people were able to buy kurban kambing and so on. So on Hajj itself, they are able to witness and slaughter the sheep that they imported in. Okay, but because of the pandemic, things change. No gathering is allowed and so on. So that has changed. So during the pandemic itself, what happens was that we had to, instead of bringing live animal, we had to import animals from Australia. So far, Australia is the only one that we are able to import from. So that's what Majlis Ugama Islam Singapore is doing, collaborating with all the mosques, and they, I think they have partners, a few vendors that help to bring the meat into Singapore. It's not live lah, it's not live animal, eh? It's the slaughtered dekat Australia and bringing live chilled meat to Singapore. So this year, it continues the same way. We are still bringing in chilled meat instead of live animals, because they have not come up with a protocol yet to do that lah, because it requires a massive pasal apa tu, nak kena train orang balik and to tents and so on, because we follow the Australia regulation, so it's quite strict on how to slaughter the animal, nak kena ada bikin tentage semua lah.
But this is the thing, right? The whole culture of Hari Raya Kurban, kita semua pergi kat masjid, kita semua nak, you know, partake in the event. You know, I have a son, young boy, 10 years old, pre-pandemic, you know, he was part and parcel of the Jumaah at the mosque, you know, during the Kurban, during the Sembelih. But even for the past 2 years, memang a bit strange lah, to say the least, you know, to be frank, we didn't even do Kurban at all for the past 2 years. And this year, you know, going back to the mosque and seeing the Kurban, at least in KL lah, we still have some Kurban offerings being done. He kind of forgot how things were 2 years ago, because masa last kita pergi was 7 years old, and now dah 10 tahun. So imagine lah, the mind of a young child macam mana kan? And that does bring about that whole notion of how do we keep the culture alive and how do we keep the culture going. Do you think that, you know, things are going to be permanently changed moving forward, or back to normalcy is on the cards, but just not yet, just not this year? What do you think about this?
So actually last year, there's this organization called Ashraf Private Limited. Ashraf, is it? One of the companies, they managed to do it in Choa Chu Kang. They managed to get 100, but the cost of the kambing itself is too high.
Astronomical or too high.
Astronomical. It even cost like satu kambing besar, even cost 1,000 plus. So Singapore, so it's a bit high, and I think more for the higher affluent people who can afford it lah.
Yeah.
So majority of us, I think we did it overseas, whether it's Indonesia, Kenya, African countries, and or even Bangladesh and India. Yeah. Mm.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the businesses that is currently going through this. Other than that company, Ashraf Private Limited, do you think that more Muslim businesses in Singapore can actually look at how to capitalize on the environment that we're operating in right now? Maybe you can share with us some of your experiences from some of the colleagues that you're working with. And in fact, your own company juga, apa nama, ISGN Ventures Private Limited. How are you guys operating right now in Singapore in a very strange environment of pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic, opening up economy dan sebagainya?
But we were the early ones to went there. I myself went to Kenya before the pandemic happened, eh? And set up base there because we have a contact. And the contact is actually Singaporean PR. They married Singaporean, tapi wife dia meninggal about 3 years ago. So he before he went back, he was talking to us about setting up base kat sana and so on. So alhamdulillah, we had a very trusted contact for us lah. And we went through the process. Memang not an easy. Korban is a ibadah, eh.
Yeah.
Mana, eh, tak boleh buat salah-salah, eh. So I remember the first year we had some problems lah, because the volume was too much for him also. So but we managed to rectify it in due time. I remembered like 300 goats meninggal, eh, first year tu. When we did.
Meninggal ke dikorbankan?
Mati sebelum dikorbankan. What we had to do is that, because nasib baik we had Sri Lanka as an option. So okay, we had to divert all those and buy the ship in Sri Lanka and to korban kat situ. Jadi amanah dia still, korban dia, korban punya amanah, we still fulfill lah.
Yeah.
And nasib baik that time Sri Lanka ada lagi satu tashrik day tau. Lain-lain semua dah. Lambat, satu hari raya lambat, eh.
Yeah.
That's the thing about globality lah. So we are able to play around with the timeline.
Okay. Now, sorry, I have to ask this. Why the need to go halfway across the world to Kenya, Sri Lanka? Why not just across the causeway? What's the deal with Malaysia punya, I guess, infrastructure when it comes to korban and Muslim businesses in
it's
Singapore?
It's not just about infrastructure. I think a lot about price.
Oh.
A lot about price. So some of the, for Malaysia side, actually you guys import from my Malaysian contact, actually a lot of your kambing also imported from Australia and so on. So the breed to add up bila nak jual ke apa kan, mahal lah, harga dia quite high lah. So compared to countries like Indonesia, compared to India and even African countries lah.
Okay. All right, we're going to explore a little bit more on the international aspect of Korban in Singapore, but we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Islamic Events dialing in from Singapore. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. This is Niaga Awani. I am Ibrahim Sani. Joining us on the line is Fadzuli Wahab, the Managing Director at IslamicEvents.sg or ISGN Ventures Private Limited. Fadzuli, let's talk a little bit more about some of the markets that you guys are liaising with when it comes to the Ibadah Kurban. You spoke about some of the countries in the region, Indonesia dan sebagainya. Of course, there's also Sri Lanka and some of the countries in Africa. I want to extend the conversation a little bit more, because it's not just about the korban, and it's not just about the period during Hari Raya Haji. Food security has always been the issue in this part of the world, in Singapore. I'm sorry, you can't get any of our chickens, but apparently, upon further investigation, the import of chicken from Malaysia doesn't constitute too big of the chicken imports in total for Singapore. There's a lot of chickens flying in from Thailand, from Brazil, and many other places. And this is, of course, diversifying the sources of food for Singapore moving forward. This is not just about the Muslim market or the halal market, this is in general. And of course, when we talk about the economy, right? Vietnam in particular interests me quite extremely, because Their GDP growth is jumping up in terms of forecast from 5% to 8%. But their inflation rate is down from 3.7% forecasted to 3.7% to 3.5%, much of which is due to the food security capabilities that Vietnam has, so the food inflation doesn't go up. And then for Malaysia, dia terbalik. Because of our food insecurity issues, anything that we talk about in terms of imports drives up the prices even further. Harga minyak masak naik, harga ayam naik, you know, I mean, I can go on, right? So and everything is going up, right? So the two of us are facing the same kind of issues when it comes to food security. Do you feel that this is an area that businesses in Singapore, particularly businesses that delve into halal food, could actually expound on? And what's the outlook when it comes to this space, you think?
Okay, in my opinion, I think there's a lot of leg room to do, but I think because of our land scarcity issues, we may still need to import most of it lah. So even if we come up with a farm here to breed chicken and so on, but how much can we as a small country produce, right? So import is still our main factor lah in getting livestock like chickens and so on. Yeah.
Okay. There are also other businesses that can be looked at when it comes to Muslim businesses and Sharia compliant businesses in Singapore that could be relied on, including services. Let's talk more about your company, Islamic Events itself. How are you guys operating? What would be some of the growth factors that you think is possible for your company?
So as you can see, our name is Islamic Events. Our focus is actually on education. So we run programs, events, and courses just to sustain ourselves and, of course, to grow. With that, there's also limitations. With spaces also going up, prices are going up, and now we are coming back to physical events. I think we...
Chop. Before this, you were doing virtual events during the pandemic.
Before the pandemic, we did physical. Then during the pandemic, we adopted... We went to virtual. Okay, so now imagine, last time when we did physical, we ran a course, Taruh Al-Fardu Ain course, example. You can only fit 30 people for 12 weeks in a course. Okay, pasal room is capacity, ada limitation. But imagine you put them into Zoom. Suddenly you can have 400 people in a room, in a Zoom room, or even more, isn't it?
Yeah, actually.
So we charge lesser and we get more people on board, we can see the volume coming in. So we did several, actually we did very well during the pandemic because everything went virtual and we are able to fill up more than a number of spaces. Alhamdulillah. So now we're coming back to reality and coming back to post-pandemic, right? The challenges are a bit different. Now we need physical space. If we keep renting, we're also going to be in the red soon. That's why we just moved into a new space now. We have our own event space and our own office all in one. So we do not need to rent out from other people's location to do events and so on. Unless we want to target different locations. But for now, we have our own event space. That's how we are able to save a bit.
What about the internationalization element of the business? Are you there, Fazuli?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sorry. What about the internationalization aspect of your business? Do you feel that this is an opportunity for you to go into other markets, seeing that the item that you're pushing forward is education and it can be commoditized, but at the same time, it does bring about some contextualization of the various areas that you want to operate in. What's the expansion plan for Islamic Events?
Okay, so our plans is actually to set up base. We already have a setup in Malaysia, but we have not done it very aggressively yet lah. But I think since now we can fly in and out there, we probably will start to do some activities there right now lah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Islamic Events of Singapore. Thank you. Welcome back to Niaga Awani. Joining us is Fadzuli Wahab from Singapore. Fadzuli, I just want to do a quick stock take into some of the Sharia businesses that are currently happening in Singapore. Do you feel that the second half of 2022 is going to be a more optimistic year for businesses there? And perhaps, I guess, just to get your outlook into what's happening for the second half of this year, do you think that the opportunity for businesses to grow is there?
For Singapore, I think, because since we are just opening up back, I think all the food F&B outlets are slowly growing back. But recently also you can see the COVID cases start to spike up again, right? So I think people are also still taking precaution. And events also are waiting whether the government will cue us to stop to do mass events. But we do not know that. I think hopefully we don't go back to that again. But yeah, I think a lot of people are still, businesses are still taking precautions step by step, day by day. So, I see that people are not really just jumping and investing in just growing. Because I think the pandemic is still around and people are still very cautious lah. They just don't want to invest too much. Nanti kalau gitu terbalik-balik eh, reverse balik eh.
Yeah, but the thinking is also quite interesting, kan? Sebab I spoke to one company and this company was talking about how they are investing more right now when consumer sentiment is soft and some of the competitors are pulling back. So this company wants to jump in and say, all my competitors are coming out, if I don't invest right now, then I'm going to lose out the market share the voice share in terms of the market. So I pun macam, okay, I think this is a good thinking. What do you think about this strategy?
It depends on the industry. So may I know what industry they were in?
They are in the food industry, to be frank.
Oh, really?
Strange, eh? That's strange.
Yeah, I think they may be risking a bit too much. In terms of awareness ataupun marketing footprint is more, I think we have to be a bit careful lah. When you do too much also, it will also backfire you. So take it one step at a time. I think weddings also starting to open up a bit. All the catering companies are coming back. So I think to me personally, I think we should take it step by step. We should just jump into investing too much. It's risky. Eh?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I have to let you go now, but any closing statements you want to share, particularly from our friends down across the causeway, any message that you want to share with some of our viewers here on Niaga Awani this morning?
Okay. Every business has risks. We take one day at a time and we explore any possible opportunity to grow, of course. And inshallah, we will strive together and have a very blessed business. That's very important.
Inshallah. Thank you very much. That was Fadzuli Wahab, the Managing Director at IslamicEvents.sg or the ISGN Ventures Private Limited. We'll be right back after this because there's still a lot more to cover on Niaga Awani. Fadzuli, thank you very much. We'll be right back after these messages.